call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
All right, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us. It's the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. Open talk to begin the program today. Phone number is 283-2525. We'll have several young ladies visiting with us later on the program today. They are equestrian specialists, part of a drill team, as I understand it, at horse shows and so on. How about that? Yeah, we'll talk with them a little bit later on the program today. And they've been busy here in our area, as I understand it. Open talk to begin with, however. Phone number 283-2525, 283-2525. Another beautiful day today. It's warmer than it was over the weekend. The weekend was just gorgeous, wasn't it? Wow. Weather folks had promised us gorgeous weather. And for a change, it didn't change. It stuck. That beautiful forecast stuck. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Just fabulous. Went out to Moraine State Park yesterday afternoon. I thought, what a good day, you know, to have a little picnic out at Moraine. It was so peaceful out there. Temperatures in the 70s. A little bit of wind, just enough to put some sailboats out on Lake Arthur. Picturesque, huh? Yeah. It was nice in the hustle and bustle of today's world. There were some people out there. You know, it wasn't overly crowded. Weekend before it was, because they had the big regatta. But it was just peaceful yesterday. Some paddle boarders out on Lake Arthur. Some a lot of kayaks. And a few motorized vehicles. Watercraft, nautical nature was steaming up and down the lake every so often. It was just nice. It was lovely. Didn't want to leave. What a treasure we have, huh? Moraine State Park, and it's free. Free. There was an attempt quite a few years ago by state lawmakers to charge admission to the state parks, and we have like 100 of them here in Pennsylvania. But it was, they ran it up the flagpole and nobody saluted. There are other states that have admission to get into their state parks. New York State is one of them. First time I visited a state park in New York, I was surprised. I have a little toll booth there at the entrance. And you have to pay, and this is quite a few years ago, that I was at. It was like $3 or $4, you know. Get in. Not here in Pennsylvania. We have a treasure with our state parks, and we certainly have one of the best at Moraine. It was so peaceful yesterday afternoon. Open talk to begin the program today. 283-2525 is the number. Are you intimidated when you see someone with tattoos? Now, not all tattoos would be intimidated. Some, you know. I mean, there are some people, men and women, who are tattooed all over the place. See the arms totally covered with tattoos, shoulders, legs. The whole tattoo culture has changed rather drastically. Rather drastically. Mick Stanelli had a column in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette recently about tattoos. The statistics, well, they're not surprising because, you know, if you're out and about, if you're shopping or erranding or wherever you are, you see a heck of a lot of tattoos these days. Nearly 40% of millennials have tattoos. And millennials are those people born generally in the 1980s. 1980s to early 90s. 40% have tattoos. More than half of them have more than one. Now, if you move on to Generation X, they were born from the mid-60s to 1980s. About a third of the people in that generation, men and women, have tattoos. not so much for baby boomers or for the silent generation. I mean, some older folks have tattoos. But there was a time when that was considered, well, you know, if you were in the Navy or the Marines, a lot of folks got tattoos. That was about it. See them everywhere these days. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Do you have tattoos? Let's get to the people. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Yes, Dave.
Hi.
When you're talking about tattoos.
Yeah.
It used to be, I'm a baby boomer, it used to be someone would say something's as rare as a tattoo at a country club swimming pool.
I never heard that, but that's interesting.
But one thing I noticed, I was watching swim meets, Pennsylvania swimmers, for the state championships. It's very rare to see high school boys and girls with tattoos. It shocked me. I watched you for 3 days. I saw one girl with a tattoo in the small of her back. I think it was a cross or something like that. Mm-hmm. And most football players, baseball players, most kids have tattoos. Their parents let them get them. But swimmers, for some reason, it's taboo.
That's interesting. I never noticed that. I've never watched high school swimming, to be honest with you. And I have seen some Olympic swimmers, and I, come to think of it, I don't think they have tattoos. Gymnasts don't either.
I have a quick comment. I just got my Time magazine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it says, it lists all the cities where there's been shootings, and it fills up the whole page, and it says, enough, enough. And I started wondering, is it the availability of guns, or is it the people that want to use them? What, that seems to be the problem. Somebody knifed four people to death. I mean, he didn't have a gun. I don't understand why so many people feel this idea that their lives are so ruined, so worthless, that they want to go out with a big bang and take people with them. I think that's the problem. I mean, they're going to find a way to kill you. Why are so many people so despondent? You know, their parents will tell you, their friends will tell you, they've been depressed, they're antisocial. You know, that seems to be, if we can get to the cause that's causing so many people to say, hey, the heck with it, I'm just going to get a gun and kill everybody I see.
Well, I can understand the depression thing, but that I still don't understand why just because somebody's depressed they have to start killing people. I mean, where's the value of human life? Don't they respect life at all? I mean, you could be depressed, and that doesn't mean you have to start shooting people.
Well, depression, I've been in healthcare, is anger turned inward. Once you get to the point where you've got all that anger built up, hating yourself, and you decide before you kill yourself, you want to make a name for yourself. And that's why a lot of places aren't giving you the name of the perpetrator. They refuse. Cities, governments, they'll say, we're not going to give that person the notoriety that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something in our culture with people growing up. I don't know whether their expectations are too high or what it is, but it seems like if you take away all the guns, they're going to find, they'll be strangling people.
Interesting.
I don't know what it is.
Interesting thoughts.
I just wanted to give you that, my point of view. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing with us. Thanks. 283-2525 is our number. It's open talk on the program today, 283-2525. We talked quite a bit last week about the mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton. Hi there, caller. Thanks for waiting. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hello, Dave.
Hi.
I was calling in reference to the gentleman that had called in earlier that was talking about young people like in this on swim team and whatever, and not having tattoos.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, well, there's one reason that you won't see that on high school children is most reputable shops will not tattoo a child below 18. I'm not sure that, it may be Pennsylvania law now. And that's a possibility that, and shop owners, like I say, a reputable shop owner wouldn't do it. I have experience through my children, through one child that is an artist, and in Pennsylvania and in Georgia, and that just was a policy. They wouldn't do it on younger people.
Didn't know that. I've seen an awful lot of young people, though, with tattoos. You mean they're all...
Once they hit 18, the sky's the limit.
What about
it's more popular now among, I don't know whether it'd be called millennials or whatever now. Once they get over 18, I'm 70 years old. I'm a grandparent. And a lot of my friends who are parents and grandparents, when I talk to them, and I'll say, about tattoos that my daughter has several and whatever, and they'll say, oh, yeah, well, you know, my daughter's in college, but right as soon as she got to college, oh, she has a tattoo, or my son has a tattoo. It's like it's a rite of passage once they get past 18.
Do you have any, you said you have some experience here. Do you have any idea how much it costs to get a tattoo? I have none whatsoever.
It's about $100 an hour.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, and a lot of them, the size might be in the range of 2 to 3 inches in diameter. It might fit in that.
Mm-hmm.
And something like that, depending on the detail and the complexity, it could be like $50. I'd say there's a lot of that done.
A lot of baseball players these days, I notice it with pitchers more than anything else, because you see close-ups of them all the time when they're pitching. They'll have both arms totally covered in
professional
tattoos.
Professional athletes and baseball players and football players. You see it on whatever in basketball.
Well, basketball.
Whatever skin's exposed that you can see is generally covered.
Basketball's the big one. Football players are all covered up with uniforms and pads and stuff. But basketball, some of the NBA players are totally covered in tattoos.
Football players very much have them.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I'm just saying that you can't see them.
In Georgia, the family had shop in Georgia, and all the athletes from, be it the University of Georgia, Georgia Tech, Georgia Southern, they all, the athletes just stand in line for tattoos.
Interesting.
It's interesting, in our generation, or my generation, like I say, I'm 70 years old, and my father was in the military, so he came back with 3 tattoos. They were on his arms, and he said, the service guys do this, you go out on Saturday nights, you have a few drinks, the next thing you wake up, go out with a few buddies, you wake up the next morning with a tattoo.
I've heard those stories.
But he told me, he said, son, don't do it. It's after you get a little bit older, they don't mean anything, and you spend time covering up or whatever. But so I took his advice, and I didn't have a tattoo. Finally, at 64 years old, I have both daughters with me. I'm a man in a wheelchair, and both daughters were with me while my wife was out golfing. You'd understand that. And both of my daughters, come on, Dad, come on. You're the only one in the family that doesn't have a tattoo. You know, both daughters have them. And my wife, I don't know how old she was, but she has a tattoo. She has a charm bracelet on her wrist. Now, this is fine artwork that has silver in it, you know, just like a charm bracelet. It looks just like a charm bracelet, but the charms are initials. And the initials and the charms cover all of the people in my wife, in our family.
Huh?
Our children, our grandchildren, each initial represents maybe more than one person, parent or grandchild in our family. And it's unique, and people that see it all take notice and are all ask, what is it? And when she explains what it is, the women are really fascinated. And so with my doctor or with my daughters pushing me ahead, I finally said, I'll consider one. But if I would consider one, it would have to be something that would represent my faith. And I do have a cross, a rugged cross on my forearm, and under it, it says my strength. Because my faith and that cross, my strength is at the foot of the cross, and that's what gives me the strength to carry on with my condition. So many times they might have some meaning, a special meaning. Hmm. My daughter, who is a tattoo artist, has much more than her mother and father would would want her to have. However, people with that artistic flair and that can do it, many of them are special. Like many of the tattoos that she has are from well-known artists from all over the world at different tattoo conventions. She had arranged, well, I don't want to reveal too much, but in a big city, arranging a large tattoo convention. And
I didn't even know they had such things as tattoo conventions.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a large Pittsburgh tattoo convention every year. There's a large one in Atlanta. All major cities have them. And artists come from all over the country and also all over the world.
Mm.
And when these world wide artists would be in town, she received tattoos from them, because many people, for people that are in it that deep, consider it body art, and they like to display it.
Mm.
When they're at conventions or whatever. It's a bit of mystery to me.
Well, it's certainly a change in the culture, that's for sure. Well, listen.
Exactly, and I'm an older man, so.
Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us. It was nice to talk to you today.
Okay, well, hopefully that cleared up some of that question.
Sure.
You have a good day.
You too. Enjoy the sunshine. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Open talk here on the first portion of the program today. And it's great to have you with us on It's Your Turn on a Monday, a beautiful Monday. The most humorous tattoo story that I can remember, and this is quite a few years ago, professional golfer Lee Trevino, and this is long before tattoos became as ubiquitous as they are today. But Lee Trevino had his wife's name tattooed on his arm. And you could see it when he was, you see it on TV when he was playing golf. However, it turns out that was his first wife. And he got divorced, had a second wife who didn't like the idea of the first wife's name appearing on every time he was on TV. So, and you folks who follow golf may remember this. It's been a long time since Trevino was active on the professional golf tour. But he wore a Band-Aid on his arm to cover up that woman's name. He wore it all the time when he was on TV. And, of course, he kind of joked about it. I'm not making fun of it. Trevino is the one that brought it up. Although I'm sure his second wife had something to do with it. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. What do tattoos mean? Is it stature? Is it because, you know, everybody else is getting a tattoo that mostly younger people get them? Not all now. You know, I've seen some older folks. You see it more in the summertime, you know. When you go to the grocery store or Walmart or wherever you're going, because people are wearing less clothing. And there's a lot of older folks that have tattoos. Some older folks have a lot of tattoos. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Open talk here on the It's Your Turn program today. One of our sponsors on the program is Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They're located just off Newcastle Road in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. Listen, if you haven't taken advantage of them and you need to get something shipped out, they're really great people. I've utilized their services. You take your items there, they'll wrap them up and ship them out for you, take care of all that stuff. Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. You can call them at 724-841-0044 if you want more information. They have other services as well, copying, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals. Gone Postal Butler, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. They're open Monday through Friday. Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. Open talk at 283-2525. We'll be back right after these words.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Summer may be coming to an end soon, but at Osterling's Lawn and Garden, they're already preparing for fall gardening. There's still time to plant lettuce, peas, radishes, turnips, and onions. New bird baths are also in stock, and check out all the amazing items for your pets, including both hemp joint and hemp calming soft chews for cats and dogs. And don't forget flea and tick collars, traps, and sprays. They have it all, from bone-eyed Japanese beetle traps to Mrs. Wage's salsa and pickle mixes at Osterling's Lawn and Garden, Monroe Street in Butler.
Up later this week on the It's Your Turn program here on WISR, just to give you a couple of program notes, we'll be chatting with the folks from the Institute for Learning in Retirement later in the week, Friday, I think, those folks are going to be here. And we'll chat this week as well with the president of Butler County Community College, Dr. Nick Newpower will be here, and representatives of the Shade Tree Commission here in the city of Butler. I'm not sure that we've ever had Shade Tree Commission on. They do a lot of great work, far more than just trees, although that's an important part of their mission. We'll be talking with the folks from the City of Butler Shade Tree Commission later this week as well. So I have some good stuff lined up for you here on the It's Your Turn program. Hope you can spend some time with us a couple of times, maybe every day this week. 283-2525, open talk right now at 283-2525, talking about tattoos. Do tattoos send a message to you? You know, if you're out and about shopping or wherever and you see someone with a tattoo, do you automatically get an an indication of that person's character? I don't think that's the case anymore. It may have been some years ago, but tattoos are so common now, mostly among younger folks. As we said, about 40% of millennials have tattoos. Half of them have more than one, have a lot of tattoos. And if you're talking about younger folks, Generation X, about a third of them have two tattoos now, men and women. Some of them pretty colorful. That some of them, as one of our earlier said, it's art, it's tattoo art. There are even shows on cable TV. I've not watched it, but there are shows about tattoos. Of course, we have cable channels dedicated to cupcakes, too, these days, right? Yeah, we do. We do. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
You're talking about Ray Trevino having that tattoo?
Yes,
And that gentleman on before was selling tattoos, Pernier. It reminds me of a true story when I was in World War II on board ship. My shipmate was on there for 3 years with me, and he got in a small anchor tattooed on his forearm.
Mm-hmm.
And when we was about to come home, he belonged to this religion and didn't approve of tattoos.
Huh.
And he knew the doctor on board ship, and he talked him into taking it off. And last I seen him was he had about an inch and a half wide scar by 2 inches long on his forearm.
That's where the tattoo had been.
I don't know what it would cost to have one eradicated like Ray Trevino. He should have done that. Okay, thank you for your comments.
Sure, thanks a lot.
Like your program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. 283-2525 is the number. The Lee Trevino story was... Trevino would tell that story many times. You know, people would ask him, how come you always have a Band-Aid on your arm? It's on his forearm. So it was very obvious. And he said, well, that was my first wife's name. I had her name tattooed on there, but she's not my wife anymore, so I have it covered up with a Band-Aid. Lee Trevino, a great golfer in his time, won major championships. Also one of the funniest guys, maybe the funniest guy ever on the professional golf circuit, Lee Trevino. Well, I think we have time for one more call here. Hi, caller. This is Dave. You're going to have the last word today. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Well, I have two quick comments.
Sure.
First one is you asked why people get tattoos.
Yeah.
When I got my divorce, I put a butterfly on my back 40 years ago, said I was free and I would never get married again.
Free as a butterfly, huh?
And the second comment I have real quick about Jeffrey Epstein. I'm making a big deal about not watching him.
Mm-hmm.
Quick story. My son committed suicide 10 years ago in a local jail in Mercer County. And he was on suicide watch. Nobody was watching him either.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much the same circumstances as what we're hearing about today. They performed CPR, which I thought was a waste of time because he was already dead. And then they kept him alive 2 weeks after that on life support. I look at it as they did that to protect themselves because they didn't want anybody suing them. But, you know, when somebody wants to kill themselves, I'm sure you've talked to a lot of mental health programs in the past, you know, when someone wants to kill themselves, they're going to keep doing it until they succeed. Oh, there's nothing anybody could have done to stop it, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, sorry to hear of your loss. Thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take a break. We have our guests, I believe, are here out in the lobby. So we'll take a break and bring them into the studio. We're going to be talking about equestrian drill team action. I need to learn a lot about it because I certainly don't know much about it. They're expecting several young ladies here, so give us a couple of minutes. We'll get them in and mic'd up, and we'll be back with more of the Monday edition of It's Your Turn after these words. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Everyone's trying to beat the heat, so why bring it into your kitchen? There's no need to slave over a hot stove when you can go to Michael's Restaurant. They're cooking burgers, hoagies, pizzas, soups, and salads to feed the entire family. So relax, stay cool, and take the family to Michael's Restaurant, Route 422 in Butler.
Don't miss this Thursday night when master storyteller Mr. Bill May presents The History of Alameda Park, Butler's Disneyland, at 6:30 p.m. in the Carousel Shelter of Butler County's Alameda Park.
Hi, this is Bill May. Journey back in time with me to when Alameda Park was an amusement park filled with a roller coaster, merry-go-round, Ferris wheel, dance hall, and a boating lake. Dozens of rare photographs and stories will make the park come alive once again. I'll even take the audience on a virtual ride on its roller coaster. Join me this Thursday at 6:30 in the Carousel Shelter of Alameda Park for the History of Alameda Park, Butler's Disneyland, and it is free.
Well, this song always makes me hungry. What do I do when that happens? I drive up the Main Street Hill and go to Bros' Superette. Best meats and prepared foods in town. Don't forget to tell them Mr. 60 sent you, and thanks for listening to the Mr. 60's Rock and Roll Oldie Show every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. And now, let me get back to eating my ham loaf.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you here. And we have four young ladies with us here in the studio now. They are all members of the Butler County 4-H Equestrian Drill Team. Let's say hello to them as we move around the table here today. Some of them have been here before. That's how I found out about the drill team, as a matter of fact. So let's say hello to Maggie Schwamm. Maggie, good to see you. Nice to have you back with us.
Good to see you, too. I'm so excited to be back.
Yeah. Also here is Jennifer Sikra. Jennifer, nice to meet you today.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you.
And also here is Kaylee Baker. Kaylee, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
And that leaves us by the process of elimination with Cindy McDevitt. Hi, Cindy. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
And you're all members of the, Kaylee, of the, I have that right, the Butler County 4-H drill team. Is that right? Equestrian drill team?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about it. What do you do? Do you go out on exhibitions every once in a while, or what do you do?
So we perform at the Butler Fair, the Butler Farm Show. Mm-hmm. We're doing a pre-rodeo show at the North Washington Rodeo on Tuesday, and we perform at some of our open 4-H horse shows.
Mm-hmm. How many are there in the group, Cindy?
Four.
So it's just the four of you?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Do you all have the same kind of horse, or do you have your own horses, or how does that work?
Yeah, we all have our own horses, but all of ours are pretty different.
Different breeds, different colors? What do you mean?
Yeah, I have an Arabian, and you...
I have a quarter horse.
I also have a quarter horse.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quarter horse, but all of our horses are all different colors.
I see. So you have a quarter horse. What do you do? What about the rest of the horse? You only have a quarter of a horse.
Well, actually, they're called quarter horses because they used to be, or they used to run a quarter of a mile.
I've heard that term, but I never knew the explanation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a special breed then? I mean, they're bred just to run a short distance?
Well, they used to be. Now they have thoroughbreds and saddlebreds to do that. So really now they're just used for, like, ranch work and pleasure, you know, really whatever you want them for.
So tell us a little bit about the drill. What do you show? For example, tomorrow evening you're going to be at the North Washington Rodeo. What will you do?
So we do a whole bunch of, like, different patterns together, and we'll, like, we'll go together and we'll do a bunch of different patterns. So then we do it like at a walk, trot, and canter, which is like different speeds on a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a lot of patterns.
Would this be analogous? And forgive me, because I just don't know anything about this. That's why I wanted to talk to you. So like if you're watching you know, a football halftime show where the band's out there and they're forming different patterns and so on as they're moving around, something like that?
Yeah, pretty much.
You wouldn't be spelling out team letters or anything. Obviously,
no.
There's only four of you, but it's synchronized, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah, we also have flags that we carry.
Oh, mm-hmm. At the same time you're doing all this?
Yes.
How do you hold on to the reins if you're carrying a flag?
Well, all of our horses know how to neck rein. So that's like when you apply the rein to their neck, and then they'll move off of that. And then we have a little, what's it called? A little flag holder that we put our flag in, and that helps us hold the flag.
Okay. So is it like down by your leg or something?
Yeah. So there's a stirrup that you put your feet into, and it's put onto your stirrup.
I think I've seen that in old John Wayne cowboy movies, you know, whenever the cavalry was coming over the hill and they had the flag bearers right in front. Yeah. So does everybody do the same thing? Right? No?
Yeah. We all do Western riding, but some of us do English, too.
What? Who can explain the difference between Western and English? Anybody want to take a shot at that?
Well, it's really just the saddle. And then, so the saddle in a Western saddle has, like, a supporting barrier in the front and the back. And then in the English saddle, there's really no, like, barrier in the front. Also, when you ride English, you have the post, which is when you, like, basically bounce up and down on your horse.
Mm-hmm.
You also, like, can do different things on English saddle than you can on Western. Like, in a Western saddle, you can go, like, do gaming, which is, like, barrel racing and pole bending and stuff like that. And then on an English saddle, you can do, like, jumping, and you can do
I never paid that much
attention
to
that's what it is.
Saddle, except that, you know, in the old cowboy movies, they all had a saddle horn. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that's a Western saddle.
Is that what it's called, a saddle horn?
Mm-hmm.
And English saddles don't have that.
English saddles don't have saddle
horn. How the heck do you stay on? Anybody ride English saddle? No?
I do.
How do you stay on?
It takes a lot of, like, leg strength, especially leg and core, it takes to stay on because you have to hold a different position than when you do in Western. You kind of have to be, like, chest forward but still sent up.
You have to use your feet more to maintain your balance and hang on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You also, Kaylee, do show jumping, do you not?
I did for a little bit, yes.
Not anymore?
No. I had to...
You stopped and thought about this and said, what am I jumping over fences on a horse for? Is that what it was?
Took a couple of tumbles off, but I kept getting back on and I got better. But it's...
Well, you know, that's a phrase that's used a lot in sports, get back on the horse. But in your case, it was actually the truth, huh?
Yes.
Wow. Tell me, Cindy, let me talk with Cindy a little bit here. How did you get involved in this? Do you come from a family with a horse farm or an agricultural family?
No, none of my family particularly like my animals. I started riding when I was 8 and took lessons for, 6 years before I was able to buy my own horse.
Wow. So even as a fairly young teenager, you bought a horse, huh?
Yep.
Where do you keep it if you don't live on a farm?
At first, I was boarding it at a barn close by, and I'd work it off by doing stalls. Then we moved out and got 10 acres of property, and we were able to build a barn and bring them home. So. Uh-huh.
How often do you young ladies have to practice? I assume quite a bit. Yeah?
Yeah, we practice. We start on foot practicing the pattern in March, and then on April we get on our horses and we practice once a week.
You practice it on foot first?
Yes.
Well, you have to explain this to me, Jennifer.
So we walk through it, the pattern, just like we would ride it on horses.
Do you, like, draw it up so you know what you're going to do?
Yeah, I wrote the pattern for the drill team.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a whole bunch of different turns, and we have different maneuvers such as pinwheels and airplanes, as we call them.
Uh-huh.
So it's a lot of fun.
Do the horses have to be specially trained to do this?
It's not really a special training. They just have to be able to turn, move off your leg, kind of listen to you. So they can't be too wound up. They have to be pretty calm to be at rodeos and parades and all that.
Well, that happens sometimes with horses. One of the Triple Crown races this year, I think it was the Belmont, I think it was the last one, where a horse threw the jockey right out of the gate, if you see that, and the horse kept going. The horse ran all the way around the track without a rider. I mean, horses can, I don't have a whole lot of knowledge here, but can't they be spooked rather easily?
Yeah, it just takes time getting them out there to the practices and the performances.
How long have you worked with your particular horse, Jennifer?
I got my horse, I think this is our second year, but I have been riding horses since I was 4. So
only 2 years? It would seem to me to be a relatively short time to have this real trust between the two of you.
Yeah, he's a great horse. He didn't know much when I got him, but I've been working with him really hard. And through 4-H, he's made a lot of progress.
Mm-hmm. Are there other members in the 4-H club other than just you four? This particular 4-H club? Kaylee? No?
No, not really. We have had a couple, but it's hard sometimes to get the horses to the practices every week.
Well, I can imagine. You got to trailer it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where do you practice? Do you have revolving practice sites? Or
we have been very thankful that when we do start to get on horseback, we've been thankful that the Butler Farm Show has let us practice in their horse arena.
Very nice. Yeah, very nice indeed. Let's take a break. We want to talk more with these young ladies with us here in the studio about something that you don't see very often. Equestrian drill team, and you can see them tomorrow night, right? Is that the only night you're going to be at the North Washington Rodeo tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah. We'll talk more with the young ladies in just a moment. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. Back after these words.
Here's a pre-planning checklist. Pre-plan your vacation? Check. Pre-plan for retirement? Check. Pre-plan for college expenses? Check. Pre-plan for a funeral? Hold on, you say, I don't want to even think about that now. Think again. Now is really the best time. Before your emotions get in the way of logical and sensitive decisions, make all of these choices now. The funeral service, the choice of caskets, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation, visitations, flowers, church service or not, all these decisions must be made, of course, but make them now. Before your emotions get in the way of logical decisions, pre-plan with Thompson Miller. Think about it, and then call us to meet with you to discuss it privately. Call 724-287-3706, 287-3706. Pre-arrangements. It really makes sense. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller. Time-honored excellence.
I bet that you young ladies would love to have more riders, huh?
Yes,
more riders,
sure.
Join your club? So how do you do that? You put out a call, like, for example, when you're at North Washington Rodeo tomorrow night, maybe you can get the rodeo announcer to give a little plug, you know? If you like what these ladies are doing, you know, somebody in your family who'd like to join them, sign up.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, you can contact the extension office, and the lady there will send you to our coach, and she can give you more information on how to join.
Who is your coach?
Patty Turner.
She just came into the studio here. Hi, Patty. How are you? Obviously a writer yourself, I assume, right? I hope so. Teaching these young ladies. Is this a skill that you were able to acquire easily, Maggie? Or, I mean, obviously you've been writing for a while, I guess, huh?
Yes. Well, at first it was pretty tricky, but I kind of just jumped right into it. And after a while, it got easier. Now I'm pretty good at it.
How long have you and your horse been together?
4 years.
That's a little better than Kaylee. No, it was Jennifer there.
Yeah.
It was 2 years.
Huh? Yeah.
I've heard that horses, I've only ridden a horse a couple of times in my life, so I don't know a whole lot about it, but I've heard that they are extremely intelligent animals. True?
Yes, they are very intelligent. So they can, like, rank, though, from, like, different, you know, how, like, in humans you can be really smart or you aren't very smart.
Or you can have a couple people that are dumb as a post. I know, you know, I know some of those.
Yeah, well, that's basically how horses are, too. We have a pony at our house that is very stupid, and he's not very smart at all. But my horse is a very intelligent horse. She figured out how to get the scoop or the lid off of my garbage can that I keep my feet in, and she figured out how to get in there and eat all the food.
Gained a little weight after that trip, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it's okay because we worked it off.
I've also heard that horses and their owners or riders, in your case, you can form a real emotional bond. Kaylee, true?
Very.
Yeah?
My horse and I've had her for 11 years now, and we have, from the start, we weren't very close, but now, like, she knows, like, if I'm in a bad mood and she's in a bad mood, you can just tell right off the bat. But if we're both having a really good day, like, we performed really well at a show, it brings us closer.
She can sense that, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Folks, don't knock this. I've read about it. I don't have any personal experience, but there are even special places where people that are having problems, sometimes people with disabilities, they have riding places where they can connect with horses, and it's been very, very successful. I know there's one in Slippery Rock. I don't know whether there's any other ones around here or not. Yeah. How long have you been riding, Kaylee? Obviously, you've had this horse for 11 years, so you must have been pretty young whenever you hopped on for the first time, huh?
I've been riding since I was 4.
Do you come from a farm family, a horse farm?
Not a horse farm, but a farm family.
There's probably not too many exclusive horse farms around here, I wouldn't think, huh? Maybe some farm families would have a horse or two, but that's...
There are some that have the draft horses, or they have minis.
Draft horse? Those are the big work horses, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A lot thicker legs than a thoroughbred, I would imagine.
Yes.
And, of course, they're whole horses, not quarter horses like you guys have. Yeah. Do you wear matching attire whenever you're performing your activities, Cindy?
Yes, we all have a blue saddle pad, and then we carry a red and white flag, and we also all wear a red button-up shirt.
Do you wear a hat?
No, we wear helmets.
Oh, helmet. Of course, I should have known that. Yeah, I was going to ask how you keep your hat on, but if it's a helmet, it's strapped on. Huh? That's standard procedure for equestrian drill teams?
In 4-H, yes, but mm-hmm. Well, other ones wear hats, but 4-H, we promote safety, so we always wear helmets.
Oh, even when you're watching Olympics, you know, dressage, is that how you pronounce that?
Yes.
Dressage, I don't know what it is, I don't know how to pronounce it, but they all wear helmets.
Yes, they know, do.
At the Olympic Games. Talking about the Butler County 4-H Equestrian Drill Team. four ladies who are on that are with us here today. I want to ask a little bit about them, so let me go around the table here. Cindy McDevitt, are you still in school?
Yes.
Nice of me to bring that up in the middle of August. Huh? School bells will be ringing soon. Where do you go to school?
Currently, I'm in cyber school.
And do you have grades in cyber school?
Yeah, I'm going into 10th grade.
So that would be sophomore. I still use that term, sophomore?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. What do you want to be when you get out of school, Cindy? Have you given that any thought yet?
I'm not sure. I would love to do anything with animals and or science.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy that.
I can imagine that, yeah. Do you ever watch Animal Planet on TV, any of those shows?
Sometimes.
No? You're chuckling. Have you ever read All Creatures Great and Small?
I don't think so.
Go to your library. Trust me. Get that book. James Herriot. Story of a veterinarian in England. You're shaking your head, Maggie. You've heard of it?
I think so.
Everybody, go check it out. I want book reports by next week. Let me talk with Kaylee here. Where do you go to school, Kaylee?
Well, I graduated from Butler in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be starting at BC3 on the 26th.
Wonderful. That's pretty soon now.
Yes.
A week or two down the road.
Yes.
What are you going to study at BC3? Are you still a little bit undecided?
General studies with pre-nursing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excellent. Yeah. That's a tough curriculum.
Yes.
Nursing. Yeah, it is. Must be pretty smart if you're going into that, huh?
Yes, but I have it's my passion.
Well, excellent. Good for you. We wish you the best. What about you, Jennifer? Are you still in school?
Yes, I am going into 10th grade at Butler.
Butler? And that would be Butler Junior High?
Senior high school.
I have no idea what they're called anymore. They keep changing these names on me,
yes,
you know.
Yes, they do.
So you'll be in 10th grade. Will you be in a new building this year for the first time?
Yes, first time in the senior high school.
Mm-hmm. Have you had orientation? Do you know where the hallways and the rooms are and everything?
No, not yet. It's a week before school, so.
When does school start in Butler this year, by the way? Do you know?
Right up here at the end of August.
You're trying to put it out of your mind as much as you can, I'm sure, huh?
Yes.
And what about you, Maggie?
I'm cyber schooled.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going into 8th grade.
So, have you cyber schooled all your life?
Nope, I was cyber schooled for 7th grade, and now I'm going to be cyber schooled for 8th grade.
So that means you're doing all your stuff at home, right?
Yes.
Online.
Online, yeah. I really didn't like the school experience, although I might go back to school. So,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, people these days just don't want to follow rules.
Oh, Cindy, you're cyber schooled as well, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to be particularly motivated? I mean, you're home, you know, there's no principal, there's no guidance counselor cracking a whip over you, you know, I mean, pretty easy to slough off, I would think, right?
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like studying history today. I think I'm going to bag it, you know?
Yeah, there's some courses you can take, so you have deadlines every week so you don't fall behind. I know there was one course that I did that it was completely by myself, and I did fall behind. I had to catch up last mm-hmm. couple weeks.
Do you take each subject at a regular time each day, like in regular school? Or?
Yeah. the way mine works, they have, like, a set schedule every day, and you, like, have, you know, science at 1:15, and then you can go in and watch, like, the teacher and what, like, and they'll talk to you, and if you have any questions, you can just ask them.
How do you take a test?
It's basically like a regular test, but online, you know. There's an app that you can go into, and it, like, has everything already put in there, and the questions and everything, so all you have to do is, like, click on it, and it you can select your answer that way.
I know you're not cheating.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you could have the textbook right there off to the side looking up the answers.
Well,
not that I would ever do that.
Most of the stuff I have is online, so all like the textbooks and stuff like that I can't get to if I'm like in the test. So you can't like go from the test to something else to look. Once you're in the test, you have to stay in the test.
Is there somebody watching you? I mean, is this like Skype or something? Do they have the camera on your computer on when you're online?
Well, when the tests, my mother watches me. So, but like when we're in a classroom, then it is mutual. You can have a camera on to yourself. The teacher really doesn't like it because it can distract the other friend, like classmates.
Mm-hmm.
So they prefer to keep your camera off. But like all the teachers are nice, and like at the end of class, they'll give you time to talk to each other and, you know, talk to your friends and stuff.
What do you think about this experience? And you seem to be in favor of it, huh?
Yeah, I like it. Just gives me more time to take care of my animals in the morning, and then if I wanted to go out and like shadow someone, see if I want to do a certain job, I have more time to do that.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that. On the other hand, I think of all the fun stuff when you're in school, you know, basketball games, dances, that sort of thing. Don't you miss out on that?
I know in my county, for South Butler, I can still do sports at the school if I wanted to.
But it doesn't sound like you're too keen on that.
No.
Well, you're working with your animals all the time, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I talked with Cindy and with Kaylee about their aspirations for career, what they want to do after school. Is it too early for you, Maggie, to be thinking about that? Or
actually, I think I do know what I want to do.
Yeah, what do you want to do?
You know how you talked earlier about how they have those programs now for the autistic kids, and mm-hmm. how you can work with them? Well, I want to do that. I work for a lady, or volunteer for a lady, Elliot Acres, and I go there almost every Tuesday, and I'll ride the horses in the morning, and then if I have time at night, then I'll go and help her with the kids.
It's another place where they have what I was talking about earlier. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I really enjoy that, and I like having like this, I just, you know, it really makes me happy to see that I can help some kids that wouldn't think that they could be helped. And it's crazy how horses can really affect people in ways you wouldn't think.
And what about you? The only person I haven't asked yet about their future plans, that would be Jennifer. What do you want to do? What do you see yourself doing after you get out of school?
I want to be a mechanical engineer. So.
Really?
Yep.
And what would you do as a mechanical engineer?
We design, we build, so it's kind of the designing process.
Did you tell me earlier that you design the patterns that the team does here?
Yes, I did.
So you're already on your way.
Yeah.
You could probably skip some of the classes when you get into mechanical engineering.
Yeah.
Well, young ladies, thanks so much for being here. I know that it's tail end of summer break, and you know, I appreciate you stopping in. And good luck tomorrow night. Do you know what time you're going on at the rodeo tomorrow night? Is it during the rodeo or beforehand or what? Have they told you?
It's right before. It's at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. So go early. If you're going to the rodeo tomorrow night, you can see these young ladies in action. Thanks for being here. Really.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
nice you. To have you all thank here. You. Maggie and Kaylee and Cindy and Jennifer and Patty, you too. Yeah, good to see you. And don't forget, if you or maybe there's someone in your family, a young person who might be interested here, have them get in touch with you, right?
Yes.
Call Penn State Extension office. All of the 4-H programs are under the umbrella of Penn State Extension, and they'll hook you up with this club. It's the Butler County 4-H Equestrian Drill Team.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a mouthful. I didn't know whether I was going to get it correct or not. Nice to have you here today. Enjoy the rest of your day, folks. That wraps up our It's Your Turn program for a Monday, but we'll be here tomorrow at 12:30, and I hope you can join us as well. I'm Dave Malarkey. See you then.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
I would like to start all over.